It's now my pleasure to call forward our visiting brother, our brother Phil Snoblin, for our much-needed words of exhortation.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brothers and sisters and young people and friends. It's good to be with you. Bring with me the greetings, the loving greetings of your brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters over there in Vancouver. Would have been great to use the readings for the exhortation this morning, but that's not going to happen. Rather, I'm going to ask you to come with me to Matthew chapter 5, and our theme is drawn from verses 14 through 16, and maybe four words. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let's read those verses together. That's Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And we're cutting in here after the message about the salt of the earth. We'll leave that for now. Verse 14, Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And here's where I want us to focus this morning. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. That's each one of us here, and every believer through every era of time since our Lord spoke these words. So it's personal. It's you. You are the light of the world. And as it's clearly pointed out, light is best used when it's open and shining out for all to see. So the message is, let it shine. Let your light so shine. So it's not kind of a discussion. It's not an academic exercise of, you know, this is what light is. We'll come to that in a minute. But it's just hold it up and let it shine before men. Yeah, that's a bit of a challenge maybe sometimes, isn't it? So we'll come to that as well. So you can see just in reading this verse, when we unpack it a little bit, that it's got some pressure to it. It's got some substance to it, as you would expect. It's the Lord's words. And there's purpose to letting it shine. It's not just that, isn't that a great person? Wow, you know, we can really see what's going on in his or her life. No, it says that your good works may be seen. And isn't there a reaction to say, whoops, didn't the Lord say, you know, you're not supposed to be flaunting yourself? It's not what he says here. He says that your good works, not my good works. It's not an academic thing like I'm going to teach you about all the good things that Jesus said and did. He says it's your good works. And let them shine before men, okay? What's the purpose? See, this whole process of letting our light shine, that our good works may be seen, is for what reason? That men may glorify your Father in heaven. So we're going to start just by thinking about this. Shining with purpose. Shining with purpose. It's not just flicking on the light and letting it happen. It's shining with purpose. And we don't need to come here, but over in Peter picks up this whole thought, but it's in a different context. So it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. So let me start in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Okay, so now he's with the Gentiles, and that's the context of the Lord. Let your light so shine that men may see. So we're in the same context here. That when they speak against you as evildoers. So here's some pressure that comes from this conduct. They may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter makes it just a little bit more complex, but he puts it in a context of you're out in the world. You're living your life. I think Dan alluded to it in his prayer. We're living our life in the world. And let your good works be seen. You may take some grief as a result of others seeing your good works. That's okay. Those responses will be a glory to your Father in heaven. So how does this work? I'm going to play the age card here and say, well, you know, when you get to a certain point in life, it is okay just for a few minutes to talk about yourself. So pardon me for doing that. So in this matter of being able to let one's light shine, let my light shine. So as you know, there was a time a few years ago when my dear bride was taken into long-term care, there to stay for the rest of her life. And we had family property out in Langley, which now really wasn't an appropriate place for me to live and maintain and all that stuff. So selling and leaving was the first call on living. But then the question came up, is this a fork in the road? So what to do about this? Downsizing and all those things are part of that process. Well, Pam and I had lived for many years in various homes and had rarely been able to make close contact with neighbors, real effective communication contact. And, you know, you don't need to have the details, but it just didn't happen for whatever reason, good and bad reasons. And I thought, now maybe is an opportunity that I need, going to be living on my own, to be in a place where I can interact with people and I can learn to witness on a one-to-one basis, which wasn't something I was very comfortable with. So into a townhouse development, and the rest is history. But here we're 72 units. It's kind of like a walled village. And now there are people to talk with. There's, you know, neighbors that are like 25 yards away. That's a new experience. And it has happened. I've had quite a number of conversations, biblical conversations, that I've never had in my life before. And the challenge to make those conversations effective in at least conveying what I believe and hearing what they believe, if they believe anything, has been quite enlightening and hopefully maturing. So there is just a little story about getting in a place possibly where light can shine. Now, there's just another little diversion that I'd like for us to think about. And you'll be familiar with this expression, in the moment. And it's sort of all over the place in the last little while. So I was thinking about in the moment. Well, what does that really convey when you're talking about life? Does that mean just do it how you feel right now, and then maybe a little while later you'll feel different and do it that what feels different the next time? Is it kind of serendipitous, baseless? Well, if you think about it and look it up on the internet, it means to be present mentally when you're doing something. So it's not just a frivolous in the moment and let it happen. It's to engage your mind and be present mentally when this is happening. So it's like real-time responsiveness to the situation around you. And it seems to me that is an exactly parallel, not exactly parable, but somewhat parable and helpful thought when we're talking about letting our light shine. It's a conscious opening out of what we believe and what we try to practice in our lives at the point of contact in that moment. And it's having your brain, your mind fully engaged, your biblical knowledge, your lifestyle, all that might be available there to influence that moment. that you can share these things, that you can convey that I really believe these things. And hopefully the actions which you are sharing reflect how you live. So it's a spontaneity that is being presented here in this letting our light shine, and it's being engaged mentally to do it in a way, consciously in a way, that lets your good works redound to the honor and glory of the Lord and our God in heaven. That's quite powerful, isn't it, when we think about it? I want to tell you a little story. Well, actually, I'm going to read it because it's not my story. It's something I found. And the context is a long time ago in some place unnamed in South America where Spanish is spoken and indigenous languages are also spoken. And this family is living down there, probably in a missionary context, in a small village. And so we enter into this account. I was reading recently some chapters from a biography of a lady who had spent much of her life in Chile. She remembered when she was a girl how an old Indian woman used to visit her home from time to time, bringing her mother a few partridge eggs and a bowl of berries. Her mother knew only one word of the English Indian language, the greeting, my, my. The old woman knew no English or Spanish, so she would just sit with the family, drink tea, nod her head, and smile. The girls in the family were fascinated by her layers of hand-woven clothing, her bracelets and necklaces, and would feel them and nod appreciation. When she left, the old woman would always speak a certain phrase of farewell. The girls learned it off by heart. Only later in life, they found out what the phrase meant. I will come again, for I like myself when I am with you. I will come again, for I like myself when I am with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful witness to that family? That this woman felt more lively, more engaged in life, her own life, because of what she experienced in the company of this family. And she would come again and again to experience this. So my question in the context as we're letting our light so shine, well, could that be your family? Could someone come in providing partridge eggs or the equivalent in our time? Could someone come in and observe and be part of it quietly, unobtrusively, and then when leaving say, I'm coming again because it's really good to be here. And for me, it's like a growth opportunity, you know, to take her words and power them up a little bit. And the other thing is, could you be that woman and go into the context of another person's life and find in it an opportunity to grow? So we're going to leave that just as an open question and spend a few minutes now on light, because what is this light that we're shining? It's a good question, isn't it, for us to think about in the context of our own lives and our own knowledge. So we're going to go over to John and stay in John chapters 8 through 14 or 15 for a few minutes and just be with the Lord and listen a bit about light. So first we're going into John 12. These are verses that we all know. Just a good reminder as we're trying to capture the essence of this letting our light shine for a purpose. John 12, 44 to 46. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus has come a light into the world, and that whoever sees him sees the Father. God sent him. And whoever believes in me, Jesus said, should not abide in darkness. So that's kind of self-evident, that if we are that light put on the lampstand, then we're not abiding in darkness. There is around us that light. And that light is a light that comes from believing in Jesus, he who believes in me, and also believing in the Father. So we've come out of darkness as we're holding up this light. So that, in a sense, might be the first step. Now, this light has more to it than just illumination. So it's John 8, verse 12. Again, a verse we know very well. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So he's now upped it a bit here for us, that having this light and shining it out is a light of life. And again, none of this is a mystery to us, but there is a quality to this light. And it's this light that we're trying to shine as individuals to those around us. And it brings life. And if you think about that woman, while she might not have thought of it herself, we can read it into the words that I like myself when I am with you, because there's a touch of life happening. More than a touch. There's eternal life happening. When that light of the Lord that we're emanating is moving in the minds of others. So brothers and sisters, that's powerful, isn't it? Because now it's more than just good works that make people notice and feel happy and hopefully have regard for the things of God because of what they've seen. But now there's an attraction to the substance of that light. That light has life. The light of life. John 14:23. This adds another dimension to it. And Jesus answered and said to him, again, we'll just leave the context here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. So there's reciprocal effect here, that when we come together loving the Lord, we're also being bound into his love for the Father and the Father's love for us and our love for the Father. And so it's a three part cord. It's reciprocal love. Back in verse 15, it has a bite to it, this love. If you love me, this is chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So again, just a very simple walk through a few verses, but this light brings the love of the Lord forward. That love involves us being committed to his word and his commandments and following them. And so it becomes like a fuel for our lives. Now, the Apostle Paul, he has what for me is one of his favorite expressions, and it's in Galatians chapter 2. And I think it's sort of the culmination of this light shining. And this is what he says. Again, you'll know the verse well. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer I who live. So this light that we've got, we've come to realize that it's the light of Christ coming into us, and it's that light that we reflect. But it's the works that are our works that are energized by that light of Christ. And so Paul says, the life which I now live, it's Christ living in me. And I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a real power in our own lives as we think about this light and its effect on us and on others. So we've got a few minutes. How do we actually see this in action? Are there examples in Scripture which we could look at and say, well, there is a way, there is a, what's happening in that person's life that's showing their light shining to the honor of God, the Old Testament, to the honor of God? And my suggestion, brothers and sisters, is that the opportunities for us to shine our light so that others might see aren't handed to us on a platter. Life isn't handed to us on a platter, is it? So these opportunities, and this comes back to in the moment, these opportunities can come in the complexities of our daily life and of our daily experience. And the blessing is, I was going to say the trick is, the blessing is when we can spot them and act on them and do something to the glory of God. So we're gonna start just for a few minutes in Samuel 7, 1 Samuel 17, and it's David, king. He's not a king at the time, so he's in the struggles of his pre-king era. And there are a number of instances where he captures the moment to the glory of God. And these were often fast-moving events, events that would overtake him in a moment if he wasn't on the ball, as my father used to say. So there's high pressure and there's moments to be grabbed in order to let our light shine. So 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47, this is the situation with Goliath. And here's David. You come to me, this is 45, with a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And what does he say? Well, he says he's confident. The Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. And right at the end of that verse, verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. So David steps up and speaks the Lord's words. This is a victory that I'm going to achieve. It's my stones, my sling, my choice of stones, my positioning. Those are all my works. My slinging. But the Lord brings the accuracy and the outcome. And all the nation knew that the God of Israel was functioning, that was acting through David. A couple of chapters over in 1 Samuel 24. He's now in the cave. 24, 9 and 10. So again, this is the cave, one of the cave incidents. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" 12, "Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." So in that moment, David seizes the opportunity to behave in a way that gives honor to his God. And it, you know, the pressure was there. The boys behind him were saying, "Look, I've got a spear, one shot, I'll kill him. It'll be all over." And David had to make a choice right in that moment, and he made the choice for the Lord. challenging, isn't it? If you're under that kind of pressure to be able to take an action that is actually for the Lord, that reflects the ways of the Lord, the values of the Lord. Well, we could spend quite a bit of time on David. I'm fascinated by his experience with Nabal and Abigail, and just how those things, those actions were coming together. And as you know, David was very much energized, angry, and he and his men were heading off to Nabal's house, and they were going to finish off the men and Nabal in the household. So he's on the wrong track. And then there's this faithful woman who's captured the moment for her. I must act. I've got to get in front of David, and I've got to do it in a way that honors the request that he had, the needs that he had. And so, as you know, they meet on the road, and she's loaded down with all sorts of goodies for David and his men. And David's loaded down with anger and emotion and ready to take on the family of Nabal. And then there's just this wonderful exchange, and it goes on for quite a number of verses in 1 Samuel 25. I think I'll just pick out a couple of verses. Verse 32, David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you." So both of them were able to take that moment of opportunity and do something that reflected higher values, the ways of their God. So there's many more opportunities to see this in the lives of men and women. It's up to each one of us to see from Scripture the kinds of examples that are helpful as we strive to take up that instruction, that leadership of the Lord, to let our light so shine before men. And to see in our reading of Scripture, our meditation on Scripture, that there is an opportunity. There is a way of taking a hold of these opportunities so that we are able to respond as the Lord leads us to. You are the light of the world. May your good works be seen by your neighbor and liked. Just reflect on that little old lady. I shall come again, for I like myself when I am with you. So brothers and sisters, we're here around the table of our Lord. Can we say that we are that woman? And we say to our Lord, I shall come again, and again, and again. And why? Because you are able to present me faultless before the presence of your glory at your coming with exceeding joy.